welcome to today's podcast. This is the fifth in the series titled, It's Worth Considering. There are many ideas that will come your way. In this short podcast is to help the believer to pause and consider the teachings of Christ. I'm Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We're going to be looking at some of the hottest topics that concern us and are affecting today's society. Last episode's big idea was, does God make the best of us supporting actors and the rest of us just, well, extras? We'll consider looking today in a very short 10-minute introduction to the idea of hell. We're not going to discuss it much, but we'll introduce it for the next series that is coming up. So here's a question I want to bring up, because I'm in my podcast right now. I'm talking about hell and the doctrine of hell. And
well, no, everybody's going to be saved.
Well, I'm not talking about universalism.
Okay? Yeah, everybody's saved and there's really no hell. But if there is one, you're only there for a little bit and then you just disintegrate.
I'm not talking about escapism either. Okay.
I'm trying to be annihilation. Funny, but it's not really a funny subject.
Annihilation.
Yeah, annihilationism, yeah.
Okay. And that's why.
That's great you're doing that, because so many people don't do that.
Well, it's an interesting topic, because I'm not convinced on annihilation makes more sense to me.
Yeah. From our own limited perspective, apart from God's revelation that we just accept, I mean, you think, come on. I mean, when would you ever discipline your own kid that hard?
Well, I think there's a part of that that's true. I think everything has to do with the nature and the character of God, right?
Right.
So God taking pleasure in torture isn't something that I see in Scripture.
No.
Okay. So the idea of a hell where people would be literally tortured, okay, comes from the medieval period and doesn't really fall in line with the Scriptures. I mean, when I look at the Scriptures and Jesus talks about hell, all the times in which he's referencing it are in parables.
Mm.
And what are parables? They're stories laid aside one by one to help you to understand something of a deeper meaning that you can't quite grasp.
Right.
Okay. It's not an allegory. Mm. This means this, and this means this. It's a parable. So when you look at hell and this disguise of the places that the worm shall never die and stuff, and you go into the Scripture. We could talk about this next time. Mm. Look into it. And what do you see the Scriptures defining hell as? Separation of God, all right? But what does that mean? Eternal?
Well, I think it's kind of like about heaven. You know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. So we cannot understand heaven. But I think similarly, like regarding hell, it's like, what you were talking about, there are analogies, and that's true. And so exactly how it is, I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit lackadaisical enough to think, and I really don't need to know. What I do know is I don't want to be there. Whatever it is, how long it lasts, that's not where I want to go. And so good enough for me.
But good enough for you, but is it good enough for your neighbor?
Well, I think for most people to realize, like, okay, God is all loving. He created you. He has everything for you. He's a fulfillment of, you know, your deepest desires. So do you want that, or do you want, you know, the perversion of all that, you know, A or B? So
I'm no, going, it's simplified. It's oversimplified. And that oversimplification has no motivation behind it.
Yeah.
All right. I got my ticket stamped. I'm going to heaven.
Well,
done deal.
I guess what I would rather focus more on the idea of being motivated out of the love of God and wanting to be with him and glorify him forever, as opposed to, okay, I want that. Why? Because, wow, I've heard how really, really bad hell is.
How about this? Statement made quite often. Mm. Jesus spoke about hell more than he did about heaven.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I guess hell must be pretty important.
No, I think, I do believe that it is.
All right,
and I do believe for a lot of people that's motivational and great. But I mean, I think a lot of people, they realize, okay, I'm kind of living in hell right now.
No, you're not.
Well,
no, you're
not. Not me personally, but I mean, a lot of people are.
That's because they have no concept of hell, do they? Is it?
Well, I mean, they're living in extreme pain.
Oh, they're
psychological or even physical pain.
Sure.
And so they look to Christ and he saves them from that. So like they had enough.
Think about hell. Think about hell. All right. We'll talk about that later on.
Sure.
Is hell literal? Mm-hmm. Is it figurative? I think you're right when it talks about he gives us enough that it's important, but he doesn't clearly define what it is for purposes that we can't grasp.
Right.
But he definitely gives us enough
so
that we would understand it.
Yeah.
Because I come not to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
The world's already condemned.
Yeah.
So the good news of the gospel is what? You're not going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go to hell.
Yeah.
And what are you being saved from?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that God uses that. And
you're
and
not
that's important, and I do believe it.
You're not interested, are
you?
Well,
I guess I'm just... I do believe in a literal hell. I do believe it's eternal separation from God. And
what's eternity mean, though? What's eternity mean?
It doesn't end. I do believe that it does not
end. Is eternal... these are all questions I'll ask you so you can get some thought to, right?
Sure.
Eternal life is that it starts now and it never ends.
Right.
Eternity in hell, what does that mean?
Well, I think it continues just as heaven continues for the saved.
Why? Does eternity, when you're talking about hell, means that there'll never be another opportunity to be saved, is final?
Right.
And that you are annihilated?
No.
Or you answer that pretty quickly. So you think that, here's another question then. Are we spiritual beings who inhabit a body, or are we physical beings that inhabit a spirit?
Well, we're both. We're a composite. So at death, our spirit leaves our body, and that's a completely unnatural state that is not the human state, not what God ever intended.
Right.
But so that's why we believe in the resurrection, because to be human is to be body soul.
Okay.
The composite. And so we're not dualists in the sense that the ghost inhabits the machine, so to speak. We're one composite body soul. And but for the short answer, it is kind of an advantage that I find with being Catholic, is like I have a short way out because I know I'll just open up my catechism of the Catholic Church. There you go.
Purgatory in there. Escape card. Without purgatory, you have no Catholicism.
Yeah. We actually had the whole month of January, every day, there was a Mass being said for Micah by the Fathers of the Divine Mercy. And we also prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet each day ourselves, Dee Dee and I did. And we read from the... the breviary on baptism for the dead. I mean, prayers for the dead in purgatory. Did not mean baptism for the dead.
It's the same thing.
And we fasted 2 days of the week on nothing but, water. And so praying for that whole month of January for Micah's release from purgatory. Yeah. So... Yeah,
that's a whole different subject.
That's a whole different.
That's really getting into the weeds there.
But where a Protestant can appreciate it though and understand it is simply that, like we talked about earlier, when you do go through a time of suffering, God can use that to purge you and to have you realize things and to slow you down. Maybe you break your leg and now all of a sudden you can't be the Superman at work because you can't even get to work.
So is praying for people in purgatory for you or for them?
For them, for their release, yeah.
All right.
But what I mean, though, is that the suffering can be used by God the Holy Spirit for purging and leading to repentance, quieting you down, stilling you. I mean, some of us were so effective and prosperous and busy that, the best thing you could get right now is a broken leg. Put you up in a bed.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It hurts, and that pain,
yes.
That suffering, that silence, that not being able to go anywhere, the humiliation, the embarrassment, all that stuff. I mean, Satan could use that just to defeat you, right? But otherwise, God the Holy Spirit can use suffering to purge you and to bring you closer to Christ. So anyway, that's all the right. Catholic understanding of purgatory.
Good.
So if you just read your catechism about hell, and then we're already done. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I tell you what, my battery on my computer is about ready to die here. So we'll call it quits.
Sounds and good.
When I started this off, I told Didi, I said, when I came in, today's Bible verse for the Day Through You version was, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And so the idea was, okay, I'm coming up here and talking, and the hope is that iron sharpens iron.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've done this for decades.
Yeah. And to have just a little more clarity about things, because I process as I talk.
And I'm praying for you. So.
All right. That sounds good. We're going to call this a wrap.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast. This was the fifth in the series. It's worth considering. Well, we hope you tuned in, but you didn't drop out, and that you have enjoyed this discussion so far. We have more to discuss, but it will have to wait for a later time. Until then, go out as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.